glad you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 11th, 2015, and I'm going to begin with an announcement, and then there's going to be some storytelling, and it's going to be an exciting program. I can't wait to share our special guest with you today, but put this on your calendar. Sunday night, August 16th, from 6 to 7:30 p.m., there's a gathering. It's called Conversations Matter at the Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. The topic is equipping Christians to biblically understand Islam and Christianity. And I'm inviting all of you to come out and celebrate with us, because it's going to be a night of teaching, conversation, of learning. And these are important topics that I know will affect all of us in the days ahead, Islam and Christianity. And it's going to be facilitated and led and taught by Robert Sievers, who you're going to hear from in just a moment, and my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffel. Of course, this is Tuesday, so he's also co-hosting on Tuesdays, sometimes on Mondays and Thursdays. But Jason, I want to just begin with you, because this was such a unique story you shared a few weeks ago. And I know it's been something that's been on your heart and mind for many months as you've built this kind of series, Conversation Matters. And many came out about a month ago to the homosexuality and biblical marriage. And we aired some of your talk last week during Mark and Friends, Monday through Thursday. But as you've been planning and praying through different topics and things that are important for the Christian church, for Christians to know and wrestle with and talk about, you had some other thoughts down the road. So maybe before you introduce Bob to our radio listening family, frame up how God was already working in your heart in those divine orchestrations, those divine moments where he brought you two together.
Yeah, it was kind of a God story, although all the stories of our lives are God-authored stories, because it's a happenstance. God creates these things. God does this work.
A word you love to use, that providence.
Yeah, it's not happenstance, it's providence. Mm-hmm. Islam has been something that's been on my radar, as I think everybody's, for quite a long time. But really, for me, from a theological end, I'm a theological person. I like to think theologically. And so this issue of a different gospel that's being preached, a different kind of good news, it isn't good news at all, I think needed some clarity. And so over the course of probably last November, October, up until where we're at now, so gosh, 6 months at least, I had kind of started and stopped an idea of hosting some sort of class or some sort of something at the church. In fact, I even had made posters and hung them up multiple times and then had to pull that back and cancel it, because I always just felt ill-equipped to have the conversation. I'm not an expert on it, so I was reading, and the more I read, the more I realized how much I don't know. In fact, this is a season of life where God is really teaching me that I don't know as much as I think I know, or at least I thought I knew, or that I can know. And so God has equipped great people who are very knowledgeable and very gifted to understand these things. And so I want to pull those people in and begin to have a conversation. So we kind of started and stopped and started and stopped. And I was just like, gosh, Lord, when are we going to address this? Because I think it needs to be addressed. So that was kind of the first confirmation where I was just kind of start and stop. And our new church secretary at the time, she came in and she stuck a post-it note on my desk, just very kind of nonchalantly. And she said, if you ever have any questions about this, and this was not even reference to the starting and the stopping, but she said, if you ever have any questions about Islam, you should call this guy, Bob Sievers, because he's great. He's gifted in this and he's very knowledgeable in Islam. So I said, okay, you know, people give me things all the time.
Yeah.
And so I kind of stuck it where I stick a lot of things on the corner of a shelf, and post-it notes have an expiration date as long as they're going to stick. So at some point it fell down and then got lost. And then I was at the Urbana Theological Seminary used book sale. I went there with my kids. That was about a month and a half ago. And I'm getting a big stack of books because I'm a book guy and I love books. So I'm buying a bunch of books, and I come up to the table and I set my books down. And lo and behold, Bob Sievers is the guy who's checking me out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like the third confirmation where I'm going, all right. Like, we totally, I need to.
But you
talk
didn't even know
guy.
That. You just started talking. I think he saw some of the
books. Yeah, we just started
talking
about I think, Islam, or we talked maybe the books that I had. I'm not exactly sure, but then Bob said something about Islam, and I said, yeah, it's a Christian heresy. And we got into this conversation, and I'm like, wait, you're Bob Sievers.
Yeah.
and then we made the Piasecki connection, because Mike is an elder at our church, and Bob had stayed in their guest house for a season And so there was just these connection points. And then so I went back and I couldn't find the post-it note. And Jan luckily emailed Bob's wife, Mary, and we set up a time to get together. And we had lunch, shared a bunch of emails back and forth. I began to read his blog. And then from there, just really said, God, you've just answered this prayer. You've answered the prayer of somebody who is gifted and knowledgeable, who is smarter than me, who I don't have to. My job is to facilitate these conversations. Mm-hmm. And the idea for Conversation Matters is really this, is that, and we're going to have a number. We had one on homosexuality and biblical marriage. We're going to have this one on Islam and Christianity. We're going to have one on abortion. We're going to have one on racial reconciliation, on religious liberty. Because what I think is happening is us as Christians, we're allowing ourselves to be educated by the media. And the problem with that is that if I turn the channel in any given hour to the different media affiliates, I'm going to come up with a different story because everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own viewpoint. And so I'm not going to quite ever get the truth. And so what we need to do as Christians is first and foremost, we need to sit in a room. We need to become educated because activism without education is silly. And then what we need to do is we need to understand what God says first and foremost about these things. And then from what God says, now let's understand lesser truth. We must understand greater truth before we even attempt to try and understand lesser or even false truths. And so that's the reason for the Conversation Matters. And so I'm excited that Bob is here today to introduce everybody to Bob. But in the same way, just to make this invitation, this is the hook now. These 2 days of programs is the hook to get you to
little
say.
Little of the teaser.
Yeah, so you can say, you know what, I want to hear more of what he has to say. And by the way, Bob and I have talked. This is one conversation that we hope steamrolls into a bunch of other conversations. Because I think it's important that we begin to understand not just some of it. And there's no way in an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes that Bob's going to be able to walk us through all the intricacies of Islam, but hopefully it leads to greater conversations where we begin to have those.
And you like the past Conversation Matters class, you had resources, links, other materials that
sure,
will be available.
Sure, and those will be available here. We've got a nice packet that we put together, some of Bob's articles that I think are really great, and they'll give you a picture into there. But also the invitation is always that Bob wants to come and have a conversation at your local church. I mean, he wants to come and be able to talk about these things with the church. But we're getting ahead of ourselves because we really need to talk to Bob. But I want to do so by way of this. I love history, and I love World War II history. I just really love reading about that period of history. But what struck me out of that period of history as I think about Islam is that we came out of World War II in the 50s and the 60s and into what we would call the Cold War. And in that, the great fear for the church and for America at large was communism. And so we live beneath this banner of kind of what is communism? It's a great enemy. You know, if you watch any of those old films from the 50s and 60s, they're running to their bunkers. The air raid sirens are going off. They're doing these drills because they lived beneath this kind of veil of fear tied to communism. Well, communism, with the fall of the Berlin Wall, fell away. And then what did we seek into? A fear of secularism. Secularism is coming, and the secularists are going to rob us of our liberties and rob us of the purity and the depth of our theology and our Christianity. And secularism has kind of, it's still there, and it's still a powerhouse, but it's proved itself to be a lesser enemy. All the while, though, Islam has been there. Islam's been on the forefront. Islam has been kind of brewing beneath the surface. And it makes me think that, you know, when I read Luther, Luther talked about Islamists as Turks. That's the references that he used. And it was on Luther's radar. Calvin's writings, they're on Calvin's radar. And so historically, since way back, Islam has been an issue. Islam has been something that Christianity has been addressing, but it's always kind of flown, I think, beneath the radar, and Bob's going to really help us to understand this. But I think that we've come to a point now where the veil has been pulled back. I mean, we have ISIS, we have all these things happening, that it's incontrovertible that there is this other opposing ideology, which in every single way is the opposite of the things we believe and the things that we know. And so I think that it's of the utmost importance. Paul, writing to Timothy in Ephesus, says this in 1 Timothy. He says that he wants to urge Timothy and he wants to encourage him, what? To not teach any different doctrines, nor devote themselves to myths or endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than the stewardship of God by faith. And so Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's saying, watch your teaching and watch your doctrine and watch those teachings and doctrines around you because they are dangerous. And so I think as Christians, we, in an effort to try and love people, we've not kept our eye on that ball. And so I think we need to become equipped first and foremost to understand, and then from there we can move out and press out and evangelize, equipped, understand, and then hopefully we will feel prepared to evangelize in some way, shape, or form, because those people, Muslims and people who believe in Islam, they're perishing. The gospel tells us that. They are perishing apart from the majesty of Christ. And so Bob's going to help us with that. So I just want to introduce Bob. And hey, Bob, thanks for coming along. And
I'm honored to be here, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Do you see why I like having this guy as a co-host? Isn't he brilliant and passionate, loves God's word? In fact,
call my wife and tell her all those things.
Yeah. Oh, she already endorses you and appreciates you. And she knows how gifted you are.
She gave me an endorsement this morning. Take the trash out.
Yeah.
But Bob, why don't you give us... just a little bit about yourself, Bob. Tell us just a little bit about who is Bob Sievers and what led you to this chair here today.
Well, so I'm married to my wife, Mary. We've been married for about 10 years.
Mm. Time for a shout out.
That's right, Mary Sievers. So my wife is just such a wonderful helper to me, and I really just love the fact that she is always there as I write my articles and as I'm going through some of these things. She has a degree from Gordon Conwell Seminary in youth ministry, and she's so theologically astute that she can take my articles and she can find things in them where I say something, and she says, now, wait a minute, let's talk about this. And so we have these great theological conversations, and it's so wonderful to just be able to do in your living room with someone, and so that's just so great that we can do that together.
Now, when she helps you, is that that Unraveling Islam blog that you have, unravelingislam.com?
One of many things, yes. That is one of the many things that she helps me with. And so...
Hey, we have a lot of women listeners. Little quick love story. Where did you meet? And you've been married, what, 10 years now?
10 years. We actually met through internet personals.
Okay.
I had moved to Florida for a while, and we met, and it was actually kind of funny because she was going to be moving to the other side of the state, and so we dated for about a month, and it was time for her to move, and we just thought, well, you know, that's that. It was kind of nice because I wasn't really looking for a serious relationship at that time, and Hurricane Charlie rolled through. Hurricane Charlie. She was unable to move. And so she wound up staying where she
was. Wait, I've never heard that term before. What's Hurricane Charlie?
Hurricane Charlie.
Oh, I thought it was like, wow, it's a new term. Hurricane Charlie.
That's because you live in the Midwest. You've never heard of hurricanes.
Yeah, okay. So a couple weeks later, she finally is able to move. Well, she moves over to the other side of the state, and 3 days later... Hurricane Francis was bearing down on Vero Beach, which is the town she had moved over to, so she had to come back.
Do you have a minor in meteorology?
Yeah. Well, I know, right? So she comes back. Well, the thought was, well, she's just going to move back there as soon as that hurricane comes through. Well, it wound up damaging the home that she was going to be staying in. Then, well, finally, Hurricane Ivan started rolling through. This is serious. And we finally...
This is comical.
It is comical. Because we were walking along the beach, and I looked over, and I said, you know, how many hurricanes have to roll through before we realize you're not supposed to move over to the other side of the state?
So listening to the weather for you guys is a different kind of a thing than for the rest of us.
Yeah.
Hey, and just as a side note, so you're dating this woman for a month or so and getting to know her. Were you starting to fall in love? Were you thinking about, Lord, might this be? Because you're a Christian at this time, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, maybe not after a month, but after the first hurricane, she didn't move. And then after the second one, she's coming back. Now it's been two and a half, 3 months. We're starting to think, hey, maybe there's something going on here. Mm-hmm. And the hurricanes just kept coming in the right pattern and organization to make sure that she was unable to move.
Mm. Okay. So. And so at some point, you just started feeling like God had brought you into each other's lives. And
how much
after that initial contact were you married?
We were married pretty quickly after that. We were both in our late 30s, so we knew what we were looking for. And as I said, we had these great theological conversations.
Sure.
I mean, I remember telling people I knew her eschatology before I knew her favorite flavor of ice cream. So we were probably married about 3 or 4 months after that.
Oh, great, great. So. Well, that was 10 years ago, and you've seen how God has raised her up. And she has her own, like you mentioned, theological degree where she's served in various churches and different capacities.
Yeah, she has been a youth pastor, both in Florida, and then when we moved here to Illinois, she was at a church for about 4 years. And so she's been worship leader at a church in Florida. So she's done a lot of different things to serve the Lord.
So in that time, are you writing the blog at that time, or are you amassing articles? What are you doing at that point? I just want to ask this question because we're talking about this, and I think it's great for the listeners to get a chance to hear the story. So they get to know who you are. So she meets you, and you're this Christian who's studying Islam, who's writing articles. Is that all happening going, this is weird?
So I told her, I said, at the time, I knew that God had called me to do something regarding Islam. And I was just doing a lot of studying, a lot of personal research. And I said, I think this is the direction God's leading me. This is where things are going. How do you feel about that? And she said, well, you know, that seems, you know, that's great. But at the time, I wasn't writing articles. Well, after we were married, I started writing, and I said, you know, I'd like to do some writing. And I set out, and it was really funny, and this is sort of interesting how God works. I set out to write how to debate a Muslim, because I was arguing with these Muslims online. Because, of course, as a lot of people do, when they first start to encounter something like this, they think, oh, well, if I just knock them over the head with the truth, you know, that's all you need to do. and of course, that's silly. But I think there's a point at which maybe we all have to go through that stage. Just like, you know, we all have to learn how to tie our shoe and use a fork. You know, we go through the, oh, well, I just argue with them, and that'll, I can argue them into the kingdom. And so I started out to write this book, How to Debate a Muslim. And after I had written about 15 pages, I looked at it and said, wait a minute, I've written how not to debate a Muslim. I've written the exact opposite thing of what I set out to write. And so then I took a step back and said, God, what are you trying to show me here? And what happened then, and I say next, but I mean next is not in terms of the next day, but over the course of the following months and years. What would happen is I would be, you know, out mowing the grass or taking a walk or making dinner, and this weird truth would enter my mind, and it was a contrast between Islamic theology and Christian theology, or a very ironic point about Islamic theology where it would turn back on itself in a bizarre way to point back to the cross. And I would just sort of shake my head and say, God, what are you showing me, and why are you showing me this? And so as time moved on, what I started to sense was this pattern. This wasn't just an isolated incident of, oh, look how Christianity and Islam are different in this particular instance. But rather, there's something systemic going on here. There's this weird pattern of, I call it inversion. There's this weird pattern of inversion that happens when you go to investigate and contrast Christian and Islamic theology. That's how that all got started.
Now, were you attending UTS, Urbana Theological Seminary, at this point yet?
No, I was still in Florida as this was all happening. And during the housing crash of 2008, Florida got hit particularly hard. Mm-hmm. And so as Mary and
not
I...
Not to mention those hurricanes.
Well, yeah. So as Mary and I tried to decide what we were going to do, I said, you know, I know this great town. I lived in it for about 15, 20 years. And if we're going to think about what we're going to do next, we should think about moving here. And she had been up here for about 7 weeks. They had done some computer consulting work. That's what I do during the day to pay the bills, is some computer stuff. And she said, yeah, you know, Champaign was a nice town. And so we wound up coming back up here. And even going to seminary was not something I had intended to do. God cornered me in, and he boxed me in such a way where everything I tried to do that wasn't going to seminary wouldn't work. Until finally I knuckled under and said, okay, God, you want me to go to seminary. If you want me to go to seminary, you're going to have to make this happen. And so I went and signed on the dotted line, and lo and behold, of course, things started just falling into place once I made that commitment. And so I said, okay, God, you want me to go to seminary, so I'll do it.
You know, I'm thinking, Jason, and we knew this beforehand, that this would turn into at least 2 days of sharing, and with that, Islam and Christianity coming up on August 16th, Sunday night from 6 to 7:30 p.m. How can people register? Because Bob will be facilitating and sharing, and you'll be helping host that evening, and I'll be attending. I'm looking forward to it. But what do people need to know, at least at this point? And then tomorrow we can share some more specifics on what they're going to learn, a little more of your testimony, Bob, and how God captured your heart, and then just some of your faith journey to why you're doing what you're doing and why you want to share. But how do people get registered? What do they need to know about Sunday night, August 16th?
Well, there's two ways that you can register and you can join us that night. The first way, the easiest way, the old-fashioned way, was you can call the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet at 217-586-5165. That's 217-586-5165. Either leave a message on the machine or you'll speak with Jan, and Jan will take your name down and she'll get you all registered for that night. Important that we register so that we make sure we have enough materials for everybody, because we want you to leave with things so that you are equipped or at least have something to get into the stick your toes into the water. The second way is, I would say, go to the Great News Radio homepage, and Mark there will have a clickable link which will take you to our Eventbrite page where you can purchase a ticket. And purchase means all you're going to do is go through, fill out the form, say how many tickets you want. They're free tickets, but it just, again, it adds you to our registration list. So you can either call the church at 217-586-5165, talk to Jan, or you can go to the Great News Radio homepage at greatnewsradio.org, and on the front page there, click on the link, and that'll take you to where you can register for this class. And again, tell your friends about it. Grab a friend. Don't come alone. Anybody who comes alone, that's just absolutely silly. Go out and get something to eat before you come. Grab a hamburger or something. Come on over together. Learn together, because one of the most powerful things that's going to happen out of this thing is what God's Holy Spirit's going to do afterwards in the car with somebody when you're talking. And I know that after the last one, even though I facilitated it, I went home and my wife and I talked for about an hour and a half. And so always God uses that to facilitate in us great conversations. And I know you're already primed to have this conversation because the media has primed you. The newspapers and the internet has primed you. And so I'm excited to have Bob back tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends so that Bob can begin to prime us. Today we got to know who Bob is and what Bob's about. And we know that I'm a little fearful that he and Mary might have an argument and we'll have a tornado in central Illinois.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it seems that weather patterns follow Bob's relationship. But really, I'm just excited that tomorrow Bob can come back and just help us to understand now some things about Islam, some little caveats that'll kind of whet our appetites and prime us for that August 16th gathering at 6 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet.
And say you can't get a friend to join you, you won't feel alone. Just come on out. It'll be a conversation that we'll have together. It'll be some great fellowship, great teaching time, and I think we'll all learn better equipped to share about Islam and reach out to the Muslim, reach out to those that don't know Christianity, and it'll boost your faith and it'll be a lot of good learning. So that's happening on Sunday night, August 16th. Put it on your calendar. Invite a friend or two, like Jason said, have a meal with them beforehand, and then meet us at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard. By 6 p.m. we'll get started. There'll be great resources. And tune in again tomorrow. You'll hear more from Bob Sievers and my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo. And so we invite you to tune in again at the same time. So thank you, Bob, for being available. I know we kind of closed out, but it's tomorrow's program for you to share some more of your testimony and why God has led you into this unique topic of understanding Islam and helping equip the Christian church to know better and know best on how to share the Lord Jesus Christ with those that haven't been introduced to him before. So thank you, Bob, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family, and we encourage you to tune in again at the same time tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.